StyleLife.com presents Style Life Academy.
All right, guys.
Or at this time, if you do have a question, please press the number 1 on your phone. Be sure to press the number 1 only once. If you press it more than once, you will remove yourself from the question queue. And at this time, we do have a first question from Rainbow Slave. Your line is now open.
Is that Rainbow Slave or Rainbow Slave or Rainbow Slave?
Rainbow Slave.
Got it. Okay.
Man, I mean, this call, you guys are money, man. This is awesome.
Great.
Thanks, bro.
Yeah, my question is actually a little less advanced. So I have a question about blind dating. So I got a couple friends that want to introduce me to two different women. Mm-hmm. And I'm just kind of wondering, you know, they gave me their number and stuff, and I mean, is that kind of automatically kind of lowering my perceived value? Because, I mean, after all, if I got a number from a friend.
Yeah, well, my thought is, well, sorry, it's Brad's call. Go ahead, Brad.
Oh, after you, I'll give 2 cents on it.
I was going to jump in with an overall thought. You know, fuck your perceived value. Don't worry so much about your perceived value. You know, that you're fine. You sound like a cool guy. But you veer dangerously on social robot terms when you don't take a chance or do a step that might help you by worrying about your perceived value. In other words, you haven't met these women yet, so yeah. You have no perceived value. So by calling them, you increase your chances of being with them, period. So who cares about your perceived value? And they're the ones who want the blind dates as well. And so I'll let Brad ask me the question, but if you think about it in the big picture of it, you have no perceived value to them. By calling them, you're going to increase your odds. By not calling them, you're never going to see them. So, of course, you're going to call them.
Yeah, you got to call them. Now, once you call them, I think the whole key to this is to make sure you don't put too much pressure on the situation. The whole problem with people getting hooked up and blind dates and things like that is that both people, the guy and the girl, come into the situation feeling like something's expected of them, or so there's some kind of pressure to hook up with the other person, and that's a big turnoff to women, to feel like they owe it to their friend or they owe it to you to like make out or whatever it is. So you want to, I would say, treat it real casual and kind of be like, you know, almost disacknowledge the fact that you were hooked up by someone as much as possible. Hey, little bird gave me your number, figured we'd talk, you know. Now, this doesn't guarantee that you'll get anywhere with me, but I heard you were a really cool chick, you know. So kind of turn the table so it's more like she's proven herself to you. But just don't go in with any expectations of it going anywhere, and certainly don't put any expectations on the girl, because that will kill the whole thing for sure.
Yeah, so it's kind of like commitment versus attachment, which Style talks a lot about.
Yeah, absolutely. Good advice.
Okay. Great. So, I mean, cool. All right.
Yeah,
listen,
yeah, I mean, my advice is just don't make it datey. You know, like, bring her into your world and your friends and say, hey, you know what? I got this fun thing going on. Come along and join us, and don't make it datey. The less datey you make it, you know, the better you'll be doing.
Mm-hmm. Cool, man. All right.
Awesome, man. Thanks for calling Rainbow Slave.
All right. Hey, wish me luck, by the way. Today's my stand-up comic mission.
All right.
Today's your stand-up comic what?
Stand-up comedy mission on the Style Life.
Oh, no way, you're doing it, man. That's cool. Do you know what club you're going to?
Yeah, there's a place in Tucson. I forget the name, but they do it every Sunday. So it's like an open mic thing.
Awesome, man. Do you got a routine ready, or are you going to use mine?
Yeah, I got a routine. I got part of yours, and then I kind of made up some of my own stuff. So
that's sweet, man. Good luck. And, you know, if you enjoy it, keep doing it, man. It definitely, like, helped me when I had to do the media and the press for the game, because I knew I'd been up and talking in front of people in this situation. And, by the way, don't forget, everybody there, just like Sergeant, everyone there is like more worried about their own routines than yours. So, you know, just be relaxed and have fun.
Cool, man.
All right. Good luck, man.
Good luck.
All right. Peace.
Peace.
Our next question does come from Akili. Your line is open.
Hey, Akili.
Hey, what's up, Sal? How are you doing, guys? I have a question for about 2 points. The first point, you know, I start to get a lot of number lately, you know, after like a certain size, like,
Wait, hold on. Was that your phone ringer there?
That wasn't me. I don't know what that was.
Yeah, no, I think it was Achilles' phone ringer. Anyway, go ahead, Achilles.
You know, lately I start to surge a lot, you know, like 6 times a week or something. I go out to the field a lot. But, you know, my sticking point now is, like, day two, I'm kissing, you know. I get, like, I told Bravo, I get 5 slaps because I'm trying to kiss. I told the girl, like, close your eyes, and I get to kiss her, then I get to slap, you know. You know, I'm really miserable on that these days, you know. So, any tips in that, something?
Okay, cool. All right, so let me get this straight. You're going out and meeting a lot of girls. You are getting them on dates, and you're just having a little trouble with the kiss part of it.
No. I get to the kiss part like when I meet them like half an hour after that or something.
Oh, okay. So you're trying to kiss them pretty much right away when you first meet them.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's the deal with this. This is a very normal part of your development, in terms of the learning process. So I know it seems like a big sticking point and it's really annoying and things like that, but as you learn the game, more and more things fall into place. Sometimes you don't even realize the things you're learning. So you're probably improving 20 different things every time you go out. Body language, voice tone, routines, your confidence. There's probably all these things that are getting better and better. And so I don't think it's any one thing that anyone could tell you that could say, okay, if you fix this, now the girls are going to kiss you. I think it has more to do with just kind of continuing to go out and improve all 20 of those things every time you go out, and it's going to increase the attraction that the girls are getting. So I wouldn't panic about this or freak out too much because it's very normal. Now, in terms of specific direction, you have to make sure that you are establishing a physical dialogue with the woman right away. So that means even right off your opener, there should be some touching going on, something innocent, maybe on the shoulder.
I do that. Like when I start to talk to the set, you know, I just like immediately go kino, you know, and just like high five, and I start to like hugging and like all that stuff.
Okay,
know,
good.
Point, like, it's cool, yeah.
Okay, so you got that. So once you, if you're going to hugging and even something that has like, see, hugging is cool because it's like a full body kino, you know. Mm-hmm. Another thing that gives you a full body kino would be slow dancing, which you can do anywhere. You can do it even in a loud dance club or in a supermarket.
Exactly. So, you can do it in the street. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly. So, I would say if you're doing all that stuff, you're on the right track. The next thing to do is when you get turned down for a kiss, do not flinch. Do not worry about it. Wait 10 minutes and try again.
Yeah, that's the deal. Like, I get turned down sometimes 20 times. And just keep going, you know?
Good. Because even that process of you trying and them turning you down, in a weird way, is arousing to a woman. Because it's your job to escalate, and it's her job to resist. So the more that happens, the more turned on she gets in a weird way. There's some girls that are just not going to kiss you on the first day. They have a rule about it. But that doesn't mean she thinks you're a bad guy for trying. If you can try over and over and not become negative from being shut down, then you're really on the right track.
Yeah, there is nothing negative. Like, this is the process of learning, so.
I think you're doing everything right. You're going out 6 times a week. You're staying persistent. You're not getting deflated by it. What would you add, Neil?
I thought everything you're saying is right on. I would just add, first of all, I think I admire your guys who get really good, or unlike you, they don't have that social fear and will just keep going for it and figuring it out and not thinking about it. You know, I'm just glad that you have that go-getter attitude. What I would do now is take a step back and look at yourself. In other words, I think I'm guessing that you're not coming off as sexual to a girl. And I'm guessing that because you do something I do, which is I tend to talk too fast. You talk even faster than I do.
So
slow it down.
Yeah,
and you're really going to have to slow it.
Focus less, so I start.
Wait, slow it down even more. I want you to slow down not just the way you're speaking, but the way you react. In other words, you know, you're already kind of, even though you know what I'm going to say, you're already kind of jumping in and cutting things off, and because your mind is working really fast, and that's a good thing. But, you know, all great seducers, I would go watch some movies like the Thomas Crown Affair with Pierce Brosnan. I'd watch some of the Mickey Rourke movies, like, what's that one in Brazil, the Mickey Rourke movie? Mickey Rourke, Brazil, Wild Orchid, that's what it's called, Wild Orchid. I'd watch some movies with some good seducers in it, guys who are kind of sexy, slow-moving guys who don't have to speak a lot. I'd watch those movies, and in your head, when you know it comes time to kiss that girl, a few minutes beforehand, like Mystery had always told me, you phase shift, slow it down, in your head, see yourself as one of those guys. And I think your goal for the next month, maybe 3 months, but let's just say the next month, the goal for the next month is to work on one thing only, and that's conveying sexuality. So fuck openers, fuck kiss closing. I want you to, whatever it takes, clothing-wise, fashion-wise, speech-wise, body language-wise, convey sexuality. I want you to convey so much sexuality that girls... go ahead.
How's
go ahead.
That sexuality thing? Maybe like creating sexual emotion or something like that, or sexual connection. This is like kind of...
I'll tell you what. Whatever it takes. There's a big body of literature and things out there, but what, you know, I don't want you just to like talk her into getting horny by asking her about her first sexual experiences. I want you to be a sexual being. So it's not going to be routines. It's going to be inner stuff. I want you to be a sexual being. It's not getting a girl to talk about sex or running, you know, crazy NLP routines on her and shit.
Yeah, dress sexy. Think sexy. Listen to the Pheromone Kid. He talks about how to develop yourself into a sexual guy. You know, everything about you is what I think Neil's getting at.
Yep.
Like, I get in my head, like, and I start to think that I'm the sexy thing, and, like, that thing, I put it in my brain, then I try to apply it. That's what you mean? Or...
Yeah, that's the idea. I mean, it's everything. It's the way you talk. You know, have a role model. How about this? You know who Prince is, the singer Prince?
Uh-huh.
Be more like Prince. Everything about him is sexual. The look on his face, his voice, his clothing, everything about him is sexual. So you need to be more like Prince.
Right. Girls love him. He's a short, weird-looking guy, you know, and women love him. So yeah, I agree. Find a role model, watch those movies, watch Prince, and try and walk outside feeling, talking, speaking like one of those people. And when it comes time to phase shift, you're going to have to slow down your switching speed. Just, you know, slow it, stop, get out of your head, stop thinking, and root yourself more in your feelings. Guys are very sexual. They're not in their head all the time because you're a smart guy. You're a quick guy. You get stuff. But try and feel when you walk around instead of thinking when you walk around. All right?
And just think
about that. Get on the Style Life forums and ask the other guys questions for elaboration. But I promise you, spend the next month working on conveying sexuality.
Okay? Thanks.
Great.
Good luck.
Our next question does come from Monk 41. Your line is open.
Okay. Hello, guys. I've just got a question regarding approach anxiety, and I guess the situation I would like to give is approaching a girl on a bus.
Okay. Approach anxiety, approaching a girl on a bus.
I have approach anxiety in general, but that particular situation seems to be a bit of a problem for me. I don't know why.
Yep. Yeah, that was a scary one for me. I'm from New York, and I used to approach girls in the subway, so it's kind of a similar thing.
Yeah.
Here's my thoughts on approach anxiety and how to beat it. There's two ways to do this, you know. Some people will try to give you a technique that says, all right, on a bus, stand at this angle, talk at this volume, great.
Right.
Now the idea of that approach is to technique it, is to work within your comfort zone, which is kind of small in this situation. So you can work within your small comfort zone and be techniquey about it. Now, the other thing that you can do, and this is, I think, will be better for you in the long run, is to expand the overall size of your comfort zone.
Yeah, I agree. I just gave that as a specific example for you to work
on. Great. So here's the deal with social anxiety, approach anxiety. Approach anxiety is part of a larger issue called social anxiety.
Okay.
Everybody in the world has some degree of social anxiety. Now, the guys who are really good with women, I mean, I'm friends with a lot of the big gurus now. Sin, David D. These guys don't have a lot of social anxiety. The Naturals I learned from, the Pheromone Kid, Joe Natural, these guys don't have a lot of social anxiety. Okay? So if you can reduce your overall social anxiety, that will not only cure your approach anxiety for girls on buses, it'll cure your approach anxiety in general, any anxiety that you have in your mid-game for dealing with groups of people, any anxiety that you have for escalating girls or bouncing girls out of the club, it'll kind of fix all of those things. So I would try to treat this as a social anxiety issue. Now, let me tell you about some of the treatments that are out there for this. Some people have, a serious problem with social anxiety, and they need to go to a psychiatrist and get some medication for it. I can't tell if you're one of those guys, but that's
no,
one
no,
thing.
I'm not. I just
okay.
My basic thing is like I actually did a boot camp with Adam Lyons.
Oh, cool. I know Adam.
Yeah, and for normal human interaction, I'm fine. But when I was seeing the other guys, like he said, okay, I want you guys to do 7 approaches in the street. This is not normal behavior for most people.
No.
To go walk up to women or whatever. And that's
right.
The problem I have. That's what I have problems with.
Yep. Cold approach pickup is a whole different world. It's not just about being a normal guy. That's a part of it, but it's so much more, too.
Yeah.
There's different ways that people improve their social anxiety. What I teach in my workshop and in my one-on-ones is I have a system for this that I call 18 degrees of social freedom.
Okay.
And what you can do is if you want to email me, or anybody on this call wants to email me, I'll give you, it's just a little, Word document with 18 exercises. And my email address is bradp@bradppresents.com. And I'll give you the exercises. And if you do these exercises twice a week, it gradually increases your exposure to social pressure. And I think a lot of the things that Neil teaches in the Style Life Academy, they do the same thing as well. The last guy had talked about doing his, his stand-up comedy thing tonight, and that's going to increase his exposure to social pressure. So I can give you these 18 exercises that just make it very structured. It only takes 45 minutes or an hour. You do it 2-3 times a week. In a month or two, you will have no social anxiety. I mean, it'll be greatly improved. It might not be completely gone, but yeah, just shoot me an email and I'll send that over to you.
Okay. Bradp@bradppresents.com.
You got it.
Okay. Okay.
And anybody on the call who wants it, just let me know. I'm glad to give it to you.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Brad.
No problem.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Our next question comes from Dylan. Your line is open.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Louder.
Guys, what's up?
Okay, you're going to have to talk that loud the whole time because your connection's really quiet, but I'm going to listen really hard.
Man. Just let me know if you can't hear me like you are. Basically, I want to get the most proficient as possible in the game, and you kind of touched on this briefly, but if you could tell me exactly how many times you went out, how much time you were spending on just learning people's material, and if you even combine different techniques, let's say you were learning the mystery method, if you would learn that A to Z, or if somebody said, oh, hey, check out David D's stuff, you kind of switch to that and then come back to the mystery method, and just any other bits of information that you would give somebody to really get good at the game as fast as possible.
Okay.
What have you been doing to get good at the game?
Basically, I've tried to go out at least 2 times a week. I've learned. Obviously, I've read a few books. Style Yours being the first one that really got me into this. And then I've done the mystery method. I've studied it, but I found myself where before I even went to another technique, as I was reviewing all the material I had for mystery stuff, the second time I saw it, I was even picking up more bits of information. And I said, well, man, I'd like to go to another technique, but at the same time, I really don't think I've assessed all the value from just the mystery stuff that I have. So I thought, hey, I'd throw out, see what, obviously both of you are really good at the game and just try to get what methods or what techniques or just the schedule that you had that really made you good at this fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you want to start on this one, Neil?
Yeah, I'll start because I don't understand. I've had other people asking that question, so it's not just you. But I just don't understand the question because obviously, when I got in the community as well, there was a treasure trove of information from all kinds of different guys, many of who conflicted with each other, and I just never had to ask that question. I don't, I almost feel like the question itself shows a flaw in some sort of way of learning, and I don't mean to sort of single you out, but I wouldn't worry about, what guru says what and what guy says this and who says that and how much time you should be doing this. Like, I would just be your core of learning, like Brad has already said, and I feel like he already answered this question, your core of learning is in the field. Your core of learning is not with me, it's not with Brad, it's not with David D., it's not with Mystery, it's not with Ross Jeffrey, it's not with anybody. Your core of learning is with you and your experiences in the field. And how I learned was I went into the field, like you said, you go 2 times a week, go more. Look how often Brad went. Get in the field, do your thing. When you hit a sticking point, pool all the resources available to you, whether that's Style of Life, whether, again, the thing I mentioned earlier, pool all the resources available to you, figure out how to get past that sticking point, get in the field to get past that sticking point, and move forward. So that's my advice.
Yeah, this is like, this is actually one of the parts of the game that has been the most fascinating to me. Like, how fast can we get these guys to learn? How fast can we get people to get good? And I've been kind of just geeking out on that and studying it a lot in the past year. It is confusing because there's so much good stuff out there. And the more, like you said, you're studying Mystery Method. And if you go through that same book 3, 4, 5 times, you will learn new things every time because it's just such a rich methodology. So I know it can be confusing, but what the deal is with this is when you're learning, the thing that makes some people get good better than others is adjustments. Some people make smarter adjustments than other, and right now you're trying to make the smartest adjustments you can, and that's why you asked us, I think. Other people make fast adjustments, and some people make slow adjustments. So the guys who make the smartest adjustments, the fastest, will get good the fastest. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Okay, so you're trying to make the right adjustments. You want to make adjustments to what you're reading, what you're doing in the field, and you want to be on the right structure. But you're new at this, so you don't know what adjustments to make. So here would be my 2 tips to be really specific with you. First of all, it might be a good idea for you to get some coaching from a guy who really knows how to coach and can tell you what adjustments to make. Coaches exist to tell you what adjustments to make, and then you'll know you're making smart adjustments as long as you have a good coach. The other thing is, if you're really serious about this, you have to go in the field more. For the casual guy who's learning 2 times in the field per week is very good. You will get good eventually if you do that. But if you're trying to get as good as you possibly can get, and it sounds to me like you want to be amazing at this, 2 times per week will not make you amazing. So you have to go more, and you have to get coaching. That would be my 2 suggestions to you.
Okay, Brad, just as a quick thought here, you went. I got on this call late, but from the email I read, you went out 7 times a week. That is correct?
Yeah, I went out 7 days a week, and I wasn't reading really anything. There was one book I was reading, but it wasn't really seduction. It was really like self-help.
Okay, so you pretty much weren't really doing any homework to prepare yourself to go out. You were just going out and learning everything in the field?
Yeah, I would have. You know, I wish I would have done some homework. That would have been great. I just didn't have anything to read at the time, you know. But yeah, okay. I just jumped in, did it by trial and error, and I did study with people who were excellent at this. So I don't think my path to development is normal, if you really wanted to emulate me, you could. You could get the interviews with naturals that you could learn from the same guys as me, and you could go in the field 7 days a week, and you would be great. But I think most people just aren't as extreme as me and are just not going to go 7 days a week. So just the fact that you're in the Style Life Academy is such a good thing. Because the online coaches that you have in the Style Life Forum will be able to give you the right adjustments.
Right.
Because they're really good coaches. So just, you know, I would say phrase it like this. Say to the coaches, I'm trying to adjust these 3 things in my game right now, and I'm going out this many times, and this is what I'm trying to adjust. Tell me what I can do to adjust these things, because I want to make the smartest adjustments I can, and I want to make those adjustments as quickly as I can.
Got it. And Style, if I can get your input as well, I think when you started off, there was probably a little more information. I don't know what exactly the time frame was, but was your style like Brad, or did you actually spend a lot of time preparing before you went out?
You know, everything I did is in the game. So you know, my whole story is there. So, you know, and guess what? There's always been too much information, but all you need is a little bit of information. And to choose the little information you need to get past your next sticking point. You know, really just take it one step at a time. You're getting overwhelmed trying to, like, you know, you're looking at it, you're just getting overwhelmed looking at too much. You know, it's like saying, where do I want to go, and looking at a giant map of the United States and a list of every single city in the United States. Just choose where you want to go and then find what's going to get you there the best.
Got it, man. Thanks,
you know,
a lot.
So really, really let go of the way you're looking at learning.
Understand.
Cool, man. All right. So yeah, seriously, good luck. Just, you know, the missions in the Style Life Academy are designed to kind of baby step you through stuff. So just, I just say get out, start interacting, hit your sticking points. When you hit them, hop on the elite forum, ask the boys how to get past your sticking points. That's my advice for how to learn.
Great. Thanks.
Cool. And like Brad said, if you get stuck, you know, get someone to watch you in the field.
All right.
Awesome, man. Cool.
If I could insert a question. Hey, Brad, this is Diego. I think it was great for you to share your development story. And it might be helpful for the guys to talk a little bit about how much rejection you faced, and if you ever fell on your face, if there's some funny stories. Was it easy for you? Was it painful for you? And what all that rejection felt like, and if there was a lot or a little, and how that worked.
Yeah, sure. I actually went through a lot of rejection when I was learning, because I didn't have any good material. I think that was part of it. Also, I'm just kind of like, I'm a pretty weird looking guy. I'm awkward, and I hadn't fixed my body language yet and my posture. So I think that contributed to it. There was times when girl, I would say, you know, hi, or hey, do you know where to get some cotton candy? And the girls would just be like, get out of here right now. You know, and that was the approach. It was simple as that. So the way I kind of looked at it was, you know, I said to myself, I'm going to get good at this no matter what it takes. I don't care if these girls reject me or if any girls reject me. I'm going to get good at this, and I'm not going to let anyone stand in my way. So I looked at these girls who rejected me as like just people who were kind of standing in my way for a brief period of time, who I could kind of quickly move past if I just continued approaching. So when I would get rejected, I would immediately turn to my right and open the next girl I saw with the same opener. And the reason I did this is because rejection can cause negative self-talk. So in order to cut myself off from thinking bad things about myself and beating myself up and saying, you're no good at this, you're a loser, you should just go home, you know, or any of those negative things, I just turned to my right and opened the next girl I saw with the same exact opener. And it was just to prove to myself that, you know, there's nothing wrong with me, there's nothing wrong with the opener. That's just the way it goes sometimes. Or maybe those girls were just weird, you know, and it allowed me to stay positive. And after a while, I just stopped feeling the rejection. And nowadays, like, the rejection is just funny to me, you know. I really don't care. I prefer to be, I have about a 20% blowout rate to this day. And the reason I have a 20% blowout rate is because I want a 20% blowout rate. I could make every set open, but I wouldn't be going hard. And I wouldn't be taking risks. And if you don't take risks, you don't get laid. So, you know, I want the 20% blowout rate just as a time saver, so I don't have long, boring, go-nowhere conversations. So I've used all these strategies to just reframe rejection and what it means to me. I mean, in the beginning, it meant I was, you know, a loser. Now it just means I'm saving 20 minutes. So, you know, I prefer rejection to a 20-minute go-nowhere set. When I go in field, the 20-minute go-nowhere set is, that's the most catastrophic event that I can have in the field. But a rejection is almost like I don't feel it, it's funny, and then I can move on quickly, you know? So you have to reframe these things.
That's a great attitude. Thank you. I think it's hilarious when you just change to the next girl. I can feel for so many guys, they, you know, walk away with their legs between their heels, but you just turn to the next one, you're like, next!
Yeah, exactly. You can't let it get to you. It short circuits all your negative self-talk. And that's the reason why I do it that way.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay, our next...
Great, go ahead.
Our next question does come from Dwizzight. Your line is open.
Dwizzight always gets on the calls. What's up, man?
How's it going, man? Doing well.
Hey, good.
So, Brad, I recently... heard your interview with David D about sexy stereotyping.
Yeah.
And I want to know a little more about that. Like, when I go out, I've been experimenting with things like undoing buttons, but I'm kind of at a loss for what you mean by that, and I'd like to know more.
Okay, sure. Okay, here's how sexy stereotyping works. And this is about fashion. This is about how you dress, okay? Because how you dress conveys a lifestyle and a message to everybody around you.
Right.
All right, so we are in the age of mass media. Women are subjected to massive amounts of pictures of men in the media from a very young age. So by the time a woman is 18 years old, she's already seen so many pictures of men, and there's a message that comes along with every picture you see. A picture is never just a picture. It's always a picture plus an implicit message. So if you see a picture of John Mayer in a Gap ad on a billboard, it's not just, there's John Mayer in his underwear. It's, buy this underwear, John Mayer's sexy, this is artistic, we're cooler than you. All these messages are embedded in the advertising. So women, by the time they're, you know, even teenagers, but by the time they're dateable, they've digested so many of these images, and they know what's sexy and what's not. And you can emulate those images that are in the media, and what will happen is all of the attraction that a woman has for media figures will get transferred onto you. And it makes the whole pickup a lot easier. Okay? So let me give you a more concrete example so you can see what I mean. All right, so I look kind of like a rocker guy. You know, I wear like black t-shirts, and I have like, you know, kind of a little bit long, dyed black hair, and
yeah, like,
I look like a rock star. Yeah, okay, so you knew what I look like. So
yeah.
I met a girl in a club who, she had a big crush on Trent Reznor from Nine Inch Nails. Now, I don't look that much like him if you just looked at my face, but the way I dress, I dress the same as him. And she's had this crush on him since she was 15 years old, but she's never met him. Okay. So when she saw me, it pushed all those attraction buttons that she have been pushed by magazines and music videos for years. And she equated me with Trent Reznor. And guess what? Trent Reznor wasn't at the club that night.
But you were.
But I was. So
right.
All the attraction she had for Trent Reznor for years and years was transferred onto me. And she felt like it was just a great idea just to have sex with me as quickly as possible. So we went at it within like, I don't know, under 20 minutes probably, because I know how sexy stereotyping works, and I know I've had girls transfer these attractions onto me in the past. And it's not always that obvious. This one girl transferred an attraction onto me because she had a crush on Uncle Jesse from Full House. I don't know if you remember that show.
Yeah, I watch it all the time.
yeah. So, you know that leather jacket he wears with those zippers and stuff?
Right.
Like, I wear that leather jacket, too. It's not a rare jacket. Everybody's got that jacket. You know, it's kind of a cliche at this point. But since I had that jacket, it just reminded her of that crush that she had on John Stamos. And again, it was just, like, a lot easier to do the pickup because you have that that media connotation that goes along with it. So, essentially, every girl is going to stereotype you as soon as she sees you. So if you look like the rest of the guys in the bar, and the rest of the guys have been hitting on her with a lack of skill throughout the night or being needy towards her, and you look like them, she's going to stereotype you as a needy guy. A lot of times women, when they see a guy who looks normal, they stereotype him as a needy guy because most normal guys hit on them in a very needy way. Okay, so the idea is to use this tendency to stereotype people and use it to your advantage. By picking a sexy stereotype, something that's in the media and is already considered sexy. So you don't have to reinvent the wheel. You don't have to come up with something super unique. You just have to do something that's already out there and the women can understand it immediately. So the idea is not to confuse women with your fashion, but to show them something that they can immediately identify and stereotype. And this is very easy to do. You just pick a guy who has it in the media, and you model your look after his look. It's not hard to do.
One of the things when I've gone out in the past, people have, like, I'm kind of from South American descent, so sometimes people be like, oh my God, you know, you could totally pull off the Ricky Martin look. But then I've also gotten people ask me, you look like the guy exactly from Prison Break, and Style, actually the final exam for the social keeping a social fame and going out as a rock star, I pretended that I was that guy, and it worked out really well. So
yeah, so you get the idea for sexy stereotyping. The trick is to develop it and kind of make it your own and do it all the time and kind of just, you know, get the feel of it rather than just trying it once. I mean, opening one button or two buttons is not going to make you a sexy stereotype. You have to spend time modeling somebody who's really got it down. It's about modeling. It's not about being creative or reinventing. It's just about doing what's already out there.
Okay, cool. So just a lot of really, like, doing research, looking at pictures, imitating, all that kind of stuff.
Exactly. And if you have trouble, I have a book called Brad's Fashion Bible, and it explains it, and there's a lot of pictures in there. So you can always pick that up if you need, like, specific direction with it.
Yeah, I do have to say that as far as advice on fashion, which is very infrequent in the community, you know, a lot of guys don't even discuss it. And when I got in there, nobody discussed it. You know, I think it's a great breakdown. I think it explains it really nicely. I think it's a really well done book when it comes to fashion and style. It's impressive.
Sweet. Okay. I'll definitely pick it up then. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool, guys. Thanks a lot.
Our next question comes from Keith. Your line is open.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Keith.
Hey, I just wanted to say that this has been, I think, one of the best talks since David Weigand. This is something you'd want to listen to just rev yourself up to before you go out in the night. So kudos.
Thanks, man.
Hey, I want you to at least give me advice to bust a sticking point. You know, a lot of time, in the past few months, I've gone out on, this has happened with, I think, about, a bunch of girls consecutively. I'll go out with them for, like, you know, one or two dates. Things seem to be going well. And then all of a sudden, they'll break it off. And then about a few weeks later, you know, I'll hear from them again. They'll be asking me to give them a ring again. So what I want to ask you is, you know, how do you get off? Why are they, breaking it off? Is it just because, you know, I'm not being sexy enough? I'm not communicating sexy enough, or, you know, they're wanting to be chased more, or they're getting freaked out, or and also how do you get over? How do you calm them from? How do you talk them off the ledge?
How are they breaking it off? First off.
Typical girl bullshit. You know, they won't answer calls.
Okay.
You know, they won't answer calls, or, like, one was, she just said she couldn't see me again, then, like, a couple months later she was calling me. It's the same pattern over and over again.
Okay. Here's what I think is going on. I think, there are things that are going on in their lives that have nothing to do with you, that are influencing what's going on. Their ex-boyfriend comes back to town, they get back together with him, and then he leaves town again, now they want to get back together with you. Some of this stuff might have nothing to do with you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So what you got to remember is, like, chicks are weird like that. They're flaky, they leave, and then they want to get back together. These things happen. There's a cycle that women go through. I call this the female sexual microcycle. Basically what happens is the women, let's say a girl has a boyfriend. Okay. Next thing that happens is she goes through breakup depression mode. Then she goes into party slut mode where she fucks a bunch of guys.
Mm-hmm.
Then something happens where she feels too slutty and she wants to get a boyfriend again. So she goes into boyfriend search mode. And
mm-hmm.
then she dates around a lot. And then she has a boyfriend. And then the whole thing happens over and over again. So boyfriend mode, and then right back to breakup depression mode, and the whole thing just goes over and over like a cycle. So you might be catching these girls at a part of their cycle where they're just about to get a boyfriend and it wasn't you, or, you know, they were in party slut mode, and then they felt like they had to really rein in the amount of guys that they were banging. So it might have nothing to do with you. When your game gets really good, you can mm-hmm. overcome this cycle and you can kind of break the cycle. And the rules don't apply to you so much anymore. But you're probably an intermediate level guy who's, and the attraction is still a little fragile. So your success is still very contingent on this cycle, and it won't be like that forever. But I would say just don't blame yourself. Keep meeting new women, and when they come back, they come back. It's pretty normal, and you know, I wouldn't sweat it too much. Neil, can you identify anything with this?
Yes, a couple thoughts. One is, I think what you're saying is correct, that there is that cycle, absolutely. And sometimes when it happens, it has nothing to do with you. On the other hand, when there's a pattern, as there is, what's your name again, the person calling?
It's Keith.
If there's a pattern, as there is with Keith, then you've got to start looking at yourself. In other words, I know when I've done everything right, I've done everything perfect, and she just sort of disappears, I know there's an ex in the situation or, you know, a new boyfriend in the situation. I know that. But, you know, if it happens a few times or multiple times, then I know it's me. For some reason, Keith, you know, and these are girls who you've already slept with.
Say that again, please.
Are these girls you've already slept with?
No, it's, you know, really innocent dating.
All right. So there we go. So, Keith, you know, I'm gonna give you the whole cold hard truth, which is there's something you're doing or not doing that's creating this, and that's why you're asking the question. And that's good. So with these girls, basically at some point in a dating process you lose them, right?
Yeah.
And let me ask you this. At what point, after how many meetings, saying, you know, if you meet a girl in a bar, that's meeting zero. If you meet her again, that's meeting one. How many meetings?
It's number two. It's usually day two.
It's after the second. Hold on, I get confused because of different terminology. So you meet her, you see her once, you see her again, then you lose her.
Yeah, you know, first is innocent date. You know, second, you know, is, you know, I never move that fast. So second is like, you know, looks like there's something could be happening. And then, and that's basically it. I mean, it's just, you know,
okay,
I guess it's,
all right. Hold on. With these girls, have you made out with them at all?
None of them.
Okay.
Just be moving too slow.
Yeah. So here is a healthy, safe way to date in the modern day, which is this. First, you know, and I'm going to give it to you at the slowest pace, okay? This is the slowest pace that I'll usually ever go.
Mm-hmm.
First, you know, I meet them out, we exchange phone numbers. The first date, some sexual intent has to be made. You have to say at some point that this is going to be a romantic or sexual relationship. The best way to say it is with a passionate makeout. You know, if that happens, that's great. And not at the end of the date, but in the middle of the date. You know, at the end, it's like too much, too cliched.
Right.
You know, the third date, now that you both have established on the second date that this is a romantic or sexual situation, the third date, some romance or sex happens.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the pace you want to go. These girls are leaving because you're not pulling the trigger. By not pulling the trigger, you're not showing yourself as a nice guy who respects them by not pulling the trigger. You're showing yourself as a weak guy who is not sexual by not pulling the trigger, so they move on to some other guy.
Wow. Okay, this is what I need to hear.
Yep, that's what it is, man. That's got to be it.
So go out, dude. But believe me, I know this because I was right there. I mean, you guys, you read in the game, and, you know, Mr. Ian and my friends back then can tell you, you know, I struggled with this for fucking so long. I'd go meet a girl, and she'd be like, just beautiful, like beautiful. I'm like, oh my God, this is my dream girl. And then I'd get together with her. I'm like, I don't want to fuck it up like the other guys. And I'd hang out and, mm-hmm. you know, and then I'd just like, you know, and I, afterward I'd convince myself I'd done the right thing by not making a move, by not being a cheesy guy. And then I'd lose her. The thing was, I was scared of losing her. I was scared if I made the move and got rejected, I'd lose her.
Mm-hmm.
And instead I lost her by not making the move.
Wow. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So, dude, yeah, seriously, it might take a while. And again, you've got the elite forums to ask the boys what to do and, you know, give some field reports as you're sort of learning this. And, you know, don't forget to trust the evolution phase shift.
Okay. Well, once again, thanks much. And I'll be listening.
Great. And we're over time. That was a great, this is a great call. We could obviously go on for another hour. I really thought you had good advice, Brad. I thought you had great techniques. I thought you really understood the guys. It's not true of every caller. And that was great. If you want to tell the guys again where you can be found online, that would be great.
Yeah, I got a website out there. It's bradppresents.com, and I present all my different techniques and products and my 30-30 club, which is where I supervise your game for 12 months. And you can find me at that site, bradppresents.com, and you can email me at bradp@bradppresents.com, and I'd love to hook you guys up with, you know, anybody who wants those exercises. There's a free preview of my ebook at the site, and I got a lot of good stuff to offer you guys.
Awesome, man. And thank you, Brad, for the call. Thank you, Diego, for your, once again, awesome job setting up and hosting. Thank you. I always forget your name. Tiffany? No.
Stephanie.
Thank you, Stephanie, for putting up with our mail.
Yeah, and thanks, Neil, for having me. It was a real honor.
Awesome. Yeah, you know, let's stay in touch. We're neighbors.
For sure.
Well, I get to thank everybody, too. I want to thank Brad P. at bradppresents.com. Thank our operator, Stephanie. Thank our headmaster, Style, who's got a new book coming out. It's going to be The Shiznit, so everybody look out for it. And all the guys on Flash Chat, it's awesome chatting with you guys at the same time while Brad P. is talking. You're going to want to download this in a few days, so look for that in your email as like a podcast. And it's been a crazy high-value call that everyone's going to want to listen to over and again and again and again.
All right, guys, I'll see you next time.
This is officially and, excuse me.
Oh, yeah, by the way, guys, I just want to say next time we've got the next call, I just want to tell the guys who's coming up. I usually don't do that, and I realize I should do that. I don't think it's been announced. I don't say it on the forums yet, and hopefully I think it's been confirmed. Has it been confirmed, Diego?
No, you're the first to say it if you want.
Cool. Well, somebody who I've known on the forums for a really, really long time, talked to a little bit. He was actually there, I believe, before I got there, a guy known as Gunwitch, who's mentioned in the game, and we're going to talk to him next month. And I'm more than curious. He's always been a controversial figure in this. And, okay, Stephanie, you can do your thing now.
This officially ends today's conference. You can now disconnect from the call and have a great afternoon.
StyleLife.com presents StyleLife Academy.